there. It is your host, Hannah, here. I assume that you are binging the show, which is awesome. We love new listeners. But just wanted to give you a little bit of a heads up. Before, if you listened to all of our episodes, before this one, you noticed that the recorded mid-roll announcements were made in the past and pertinent to that time. But the ones you're going to hear from this episode on are actually given to you in real time. So from this episode forward, they're all going to be the same because they're all up to date. That's just a feature of the new platform we have switched to, and I just didn't want to catch you off guard. If it feels like you missed a bunch of news, you're actually going to be more in the news. You're going to be always in the news from now on. So I just wanted to make sure that you understood that. Thanks for listening to our show. We very much appreciate it. And yeah, enjoy the episode.
Everybody, and welcome back to Guild Fellows. Thank you for bearing with us through our hiatus. When we last left off, Giuseppe talked about his life. We learned a little bit more about the Black Spot. Q and Sinead were there. Arthur was not. Arthur was busy trying to figure out what he wants to do next with his life. It's a familiar theme with with us. As we're down in the belly of the ship with Arthur, collecting trinkets and stuff for passage, an old friend stumbles upon him. Arthur, as you're packing, packing the belongings, you hear some of the purest Avalonian you've heard on this ship, although with a slight Vodachian accent. You're not used to hearing unbroken Avalonian, so this must be somebody who speaks the language. And you turn around and see none other than Isabel, the woman from earlier whose husband you buried at sea. And she says, what are you doing?
Arthur is like trinket in hand, putting it in the bag, like.
Nothing to see here, folks.
I'm not doing anything. Just gathering my share of what was found.
Okay. We're all on the same ship, so, I mean, why now?
Because I don't plan to stay on the ship much longer, Isabel. And this brings me to a question that I have for you. Do you want to remain a pirate, or would you rather go with me to Avalon?
Well, she thinks on it for a second. Her muscular frame sort of... put this. She like leans forward and puts her head in her hands, and it looks like she hasn't really thought about it in a while. Despite being half Avalonian, it's not a place that she really considers her home, despite her being adept at the language. And she says, a pirate's life for me, it's all I've known in a long time. Why do you ask?
Well, if you'd want to stay, then I won't try to convince you. It's your life, after all. But I plan on leaving the ship once everybody else is asleep using one of the rowboats. I'm going to head back to the nearest shore and catch a ship back to Avalon. This piracy thing is nothing that I really stand for, personally. And without any other thing keeping me here, I might as well go back to where I have no home.
I could keep you here.
What are you suggesting?
I don't know. I mean, come on, we just met. And why even choose the pirate's life in the first place? What even brought you here?
Well, I didn't really choose this. I kind of ended up here on accident, and I've been gone way too long.
So, Arthur, I'm going to say that hearing fluent Avalonian, and because Arthur is a character who's very purpose-driven, you're to protect the queen, I will say that you are the first amongst the party to gain a tiny bit of your memory back on why, but not much. I haven't earned that. But this triggers that you get to retain just a tiny bit part of your memory on why you were on the ship in the first place. So looking at your backstory, I am going to say that you remember it had something to do with the last orders you received from the Queen herself, and that it is in the best interest of the Queen that the lost Vedachi Prince gets back to his homeland.
Okay. So
you remember nothing else, though.
Okay.
And don't ask for more.
I won't ask for more. And I will pretend as if I don't know Arthur's own backstory. as much as, like, you have driven out for us. Okay. So Arthur kind of, like, gets this look on his face like he just remembered a, like, bad or embarrassing memory from his childhood, and kind of, like, stares off into space for a second after hearing the last words that Isabel said. And then it kind of, like, clicks back in his mind of, like, just a few, like, scraps here and there of, like, him being with Giuseppe on the ship and, like, him remembering, like you just said, that he has to, for some reason, is tasked with escorting Giuseppe back to Vodaji. So, after that, he just kind of sighs. I guess I can roleplay this. Isabel, I don't know what precisely just happened, but I'm going to be staying for a while. And then he drops the bag full of goodies and kind of angrily in a huff goes back above deck to try to find Giuseppe.
She says, like, quietly to herself, I guess you wouldn't know this, but for everybody at home, she goes, was it something I said? we're going to bounce real quick to Sinead and Q. You guys notice a sort of foul smell throughout the ship. It's coming from within the ship. You don't know where it's coming from. It smells a bit like swampy and rotten.
What the hell is that?
If someone's made a mess on my ship, I'm going to be very angry.
Yeah, me too. This is fucking disgusting. I'd like to make my way toward the source of the smell while, like, maybe wrapping something around my nose and face.
Yes, I will follow them.
All right, so to see how well you guys can determine the source of the stench, I want wits plus, let's go with notice on that one. Wits plus notice to both of you. Here's the fun
dice
thing.
For first roll.
First roll for notice, yep. So here's the fun thing. If either of you rolls a zero, you're going to be convinced it's coming from the ocean. that'll be fun. If one of you rolls a one, you'll have no idea where it is. You know the stench is coming from the ship. Either one of you rolls a two, you're going to be able to tell that it's in the mid-level, and a three, you could tell exactly where the ship, where the smell is coming from. Anything more than that, I would bank for later.
I have three.
I have one.
Gotcha. So, I guess when Q put something in their nose, they completely lost it. Although you know it's coming from the ship. Sinead, you know the ship well enough. You know it like the back of your hand, the one that's not wrapped in gauze, the other one. And it is coming from the kitchen and the food storage area nearby.
Oh, Lord. Well, I think it's coming from the kitchen, if you'd like to follow me there.
I mean, I'd rather not, but I don't think I have much of a choice right now.
I head to the kitchen.
I follow.
The two of you walk down. You pass Arthur walking by in a huff for an unexplained reason. Would you like to say anything to him?
What are you doing?
I'm trying to find Giuseppe. Have you seen him?
No, we're trying to find whatever the smell is coming from.
It does smell a bit rank than usual.
Yeah, did you not notice until now?
Oh, no, I was down at the bottom of the hole. It must have not reached all the way down there. Anyway, I guess I'll go find Giuseppe. Wait, where would Giuseppe be?
He's lost. We ended last session. Nobody knows where he is. He's disappeared.
When was the last?
He walked away from us because we had the conversation. He just left.
Right. He just left. Nobody has seen him since.
So you haven't seen him above deck?
No.
No.
Then I might as well tag along with you two, since we don't know where he is.
Maybe he's the cause of this damn smell.
I mean, it's like a single ship. He can't have gone far, right?
Unless he threw himself overboard.
Yeah, that would have been dumb. I hope he didn't do that.
Yeah, who would randomly leave the ship without telling anyone? That would suck.
Yeah, like what he's gonna do, like try and paddle boat to shore, we're days out. He'd just die in the ocean.
Yeah, that would be unfortunate if he did that. Yeah. Let's go find him.
So you guys find your way through the kitchen. It smells like horrible. Like it smells like something died, then was reanimated, then ate roadkill, and then died again. It's pretty bad. You notice that there is a young sailor. This is one of the Castilian sailors who is desperately trying to like stand in front of the door and like whistle nonchalantly.
Oi, what's going on in there?
Captain. nothing. It's all under control.
Doesn't
thank
smell
you.
Like it.
What is that smell? I demand you tell me.
He goes, well, most of us that worked in the rigging went down to the kitchen for some romance, and none of us knew how to cook or store things properly, and so he opens up the door, and in the kitchen, it looks like nothing was stored properly, so like a lot of like the water and the wine, etc., like mixed in with the stores of potatoes, and there's stuff all over the floor. All the food is like together, and there's just seawater some places, and also it looks like there's a small furnace you guys use to like cook things with. On board with whatever fuel you can have, wood or whatever, is like charred. it doesn't look like anybody's been able to cook successfully in this place in a long time, ever since the people that work on the sails and rigging have started cooking.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
Is there any salvageable food left?
We got some hardtack we made last week. So now it's really hard tack. That's probably fine. And he like scurries off and brings back like a sack of these hard crackers. And he goes, this is enough for a day or two.
Ugh. So after a day or two, we're out of food.
We can fish.
Is anybody here a good fisherman? Or are all you pirates equally useless?
he takes some offense to that, but he's like fair. He goes, I mean, we could try and fish. We can try. You know, we could.
Well, I mean, I suggest we try. Otherwise, we can just, you know, try and starve. So,
all right, you standing in front of me. I want you to go around the ship and see if anyone has any experience with fishing.
Gotcha. Okay. So, I am going to random roll this to see how good you guys are at fishing. it will be weighted according to you guys are all sailors, you know, privateers and Vodachi pirates, so there's some experience, but let's see here. Let's see if you guys starve.
Just casually waiting to see whether or not we die of starvation.
Let's see if you live to next week.
All right. Ooh! Yikes, McGee!
Uh-oh.
God. I was going to say what are the chances, but it's out of 100, so it's pretty easy to know what the chances were. Oh, Lord. It turns out you guys can fish, sort of. It will be tough, but if you guys are okay with some malnutrition, you'll be fine. He reports back to you and says, well, we have three people who said that their older siblings used to be fishermen at some point, they think.
All right, well, put them in charge of fishing duty and reassign whatever role that they're leaving.
And
yes.
Do we have anyone who actually knows how to fucking cook besides you all, since apparently none of you have seen the inside of a kitchen in your entire lives?
He goes, I think that the main cook went to the cannonade, actually.
Why?
She said that she had a good conversation with the guy that loads the cannonballs in the cannons.
Okay. All right, we'll go find them and bring them up here, please.
Both of them or just one of
the
them?
Cook, like... please,
okay!
The cook, please.
Okay, aye, Captain. And he scurries off. Yeah, so you guys lost a lot of your food supply. And it kind of stinks in here.
Okay, Sinead?
Yes?
Okay. We need to lay down some laws now. I think that we, or probably you, since you're the captain, like, people can't just be switching jobs and doing things, because clearly no one here knows what the fuck they are doing at any given time.
Right, well, hindsight is 2020.
Well, I didn't know that was an option. I'm just saying, we need to lay down the law, make it very clear to the crew. You can't just go fucking around. Like, no one should be messing with the food. People shouldn't be switching jobs. Like, we need to tell them now. Like, we need to have a meeting.
Right, let's do it.
So you call a, do you call a meeting?
Yeah, I call a meeting.
All right, meeting.
All right, I'm going to open a window.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
You know, like, call a meeting at a reasonable time. Like, not, like, right this second, but...
Oh, okay.
Maybe
it's up to you guys.
Yeah.
You guys could do it.
It's up to Captain Sinead.
Don't cut this part out. Do you want the meeting now or later?
Yeah,
when are we
now.
Feeling?
Now's
yeah.
good.
Now? Now's good? Okay, so you start spreading the word that there's a meeting up top. Everybody meets on ye olde poop deck. Would you like your soapbox back?
Sure.
Okay, excellent. So the one of the sailors goes, "Oi, Captain," and then grabs you the soapbox and places it in front of you.
All right, crew, it has come to my attention that a few of you have been switching jobs because you have romantic interests or whatever, but that is not going to do. That is not how we sail a ship. So I need all of you to return to whatever you are most proficient at, whether that's on the sails or in the kitchen or cleaning or whatnot. So please do what you can do best.
There's some murmurs. They've all been, like, pretty good about picking up each other's languages by now after enough time at the ship. So, of course, they all understand basic sailing words in every in most languages at this point. But they got the picture pretty easily, so you don't need a translation anymore. A lot of them look really disappointed. do you respond to that at all?
Oh, wait, no. Do I notice that they look disappointed?
Yes.
Okay.
You
will respond. I'll okay. be Sinead's anger translator for diplomatic reasons. Oh, I'm sorry. Do I hear some disagreements and some mumbling?
It gets a little bit quieter.
Are you guys not satisfied with the fact that some of you decided to take it upon yourselves to do God knows what in the kitchen, ruin our entire food supply such that if we don't get enough fish in the next day, we'll begin starving? Do you guys enjoy starving?
No, one of them says.
Okay, let's do another scenario. Let's say I just decided I want to be a rigger and I start tying knots. Then our sails fall off into the ocean. Do you guys want to be stranded here in the middle of nowhere?
They all, like, shuffle their feet. Like, whenever you go to the principal's office in, like, middle school, like, no.
What was that?
No.
Okay. So when Sinead makes an order, because you all, a group of grown adults, can't seem to manage to manage a ship despite the fact that that is your entire life, just because we have decided we are being decent people, we're not throwing people overboard, we're not dealing out punishments, does not mean you get to take advantage of this young woman's brilliant kindness and do whatever the fuck you want. Okay, at the end of the day, we're in the middle of the fucking ocean on a ship. This is dangerous. I need you to take it seriously because I don't want to die out here. Got it?
They all look to Sinead.
Well, You heard him.
Aye, Captain. And they all scurry off to their bidding. Arthur, you notice that the object of your search, Giuseppo, was hanging off deep in the back of the ship, just within earshot, still not wanting to hang out with everybody else, but obviously wanting to see what's up.
All right, so Arthur moves towards him and calls out to him, Giuseppo Vivaldi, a word, please.
He scurries away, goes down ship.
Arthur sprints after him.
How fast are you?
I mean, I'm 6'1", 180, and a 30-year-old knight. I mean, we can calculate it later if we want, but probably pretty fast. Like,
he's a deft boy.
Yeah.
He's a deft boy. 6'1", I mean, just 180. Just for fun, I am going to... just because I think this is funny, please roll a finesse plus athletics. I just want to see if you could catch him.
Okay, finesse plus athletics.
And I all roll for Giuseppo.
What are the risks?
Giuseppo got a 1, so I guess he tripped down the stairs, so you just gotta beat that.
Okay.
If you get a 0, I'm gonna have you trip and get a wound from, like, landing on a cannonball or something. If you get a 1, you also trip down the stairs, but you land next to him. If you get a 2, you arrive next to him. Anything more than that, bank for later.
Okay, well, I actually also didn't roll super well. I only got a 1, but...
Okay, so you... run after him and then trip over the same, like, loose plank that he did and, like, land on your arse next to him.
God damn it. Who has been keeping up with the maintenance on the ship? The whole lot of you deserve to be fired. Jesus.
Sinead is watching this in the background and, like, face palms and shakes her head.
I will say that you guys are all very well that the carpenters, the people that, like, repair the ship when, like, cannonballs rip through it and stuff, decided that he would make a great navigator.
What the fuck is wrong with everyone on this ship?
The navigator, I mean, she was cute. The other navigator, so did... I'll tell you. Anyway.
These pirates are far too horny. Jesus.
They're so fucking horny. Especially, like, given the fact that they've all seen... That, you know what happened? You know what this started? It's just... Sinead, I'm not blaming you. I'm just saying, when we paired them off at the buddy system and you were doing matchmaker, they got way too friendly. Way too friendly. I don't think any of us could have predicted that.
Okay, so Arthur still is trying to talk to Giuseppo. Okay, so when Arthur, like, gets to his feet, he's gonna, like, help Giuseppo up or offer him a hand.
He accepts it, and stands up with you.
You and I need to have a bit of a conversation, Giuseppo.
He says, I already overheard, Sinead and Q about, quitting the Lady Morrigan dating simulator, so no worries.
What were you dating? Never mind, that's not what I'm talking about. No, Giuseppo, I remember a bit about what I was doing on the ship with you before we wrecked.
And?
Well, I mean, it's in bits and pieces, but what's important is that I was ordered by the Queen to escort you to Vodachi. I don't really know the particulars, it's still kind of fuzzy, but more or less, I'm supposed to be... your escort.
He says, well, that's good. I've decided to face my father Antonio there and own up to what I did. Hopefully my other father Enrico, if he shows up too though, things might get messy. Enrico Marcello has been uncharacteristically ambitious lately. It doesn't make a lot of sense, but either way, I've decided to go back. So I'm glad we're on the same page.
There's something else too. I don't know exactly why I was sent, but from what we know about when you left, ran away, really, is that it threw a threw a wrench into the political sphere, so to speak, so I think it's important that no matter what happens, that you retain the power in Vodachi. And I mean this, I don't care which father you choose, just make sure that you stabilize things as best you can.
I imagine Avalon has some interests in maintaining good relationships with Vodachi.
They do, although I, again, don't feel comfortable speaking on what particular interests until I can regain more of my memory.
Right in this point in the conversation, you hear somebody in the crow's nest yell, "Ship ho!"
Okay, I guess we should go onto the deck to see what.
You and Giuseppe make way onto the ship. Deep in the distance, something that can only be seen well with a spyglass, you can see a speck of a ship far out to the north.
Sorry, what type of flag?
You can't tell yet. Not without a spyglass. Does somebody have a spyglass between the four of you, five of you, four?
I'm sure that the captain would have left one behind in like the
There would be one somewhere on the quarters. Ship.
So, Sinead, I'm gonna say you have a spyglass. Go ahead and use it.
I'll use it.
it is the flag and the colors of the wonderful land of Usura.
Oh.
Which country is that? I don't it's remember. Russia.
Fantasy Russia.
It's Russia.
Oh,
Fantasy
got
Russia.
It.
Usura.
Got it.
Usura. I'm just making noises to myself.
Yes. So, what do you do?
Can I roll some sort of check to see if I know the nature of Usuran people?
Can I as well?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You would be better at that, probably.
So I'm going to let you all put your heads together. Arthur, you want to get down on this?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, sweet. So all of you, that's going to be Wits plus Scholarship. See how what you know about the Usuran people. It's going to be a separate role to figure out why an Usuran ship would be this far south. Because obviously that place is in the north and you guys are in the south. So for this one, it's just like what you know about the country. A zero, and you're going to, for other than the colors, you're going to know nothing about them. You're going to think that they're like elves or something. If you can give me a combined one, then you will know that you'll know just like basic things. And on the sliding scale, the more you guys get together, the more information that you guys will know. And then tell me your individual roles first so I can set who knows the most, who contributes the most to you guys' little group brainstorm.
Okay, I got one, but I also have two extra sailing raises that you gave me. Can I use that on this, or does it have to be
this counts. This can if you want. I mean, you could use it for, like, a ship battle or something more, but okay. I'll let you decide if you want to use them to contribute to this after everybody else's, because you may not need them.
Right,
depending
on
how well Q and Arthur do.
Got it.
I'm just going to go ahead and go first. scholarship is not something that Arthur is very good at, which makes sense considering he went from being a peasant to like a soldier. But I only got one, so hope you guys are rolling better than I.
I also only got one, yeah.
I got two whole raises, what with my background in court. I've probably traveled there maybe once or twice in my life and have met with several dignitaries.
So that's four total.
Four total. Okay. So here's the thing. Q. I'm going to. So first off, I want to see Arthur and Sinead use their ones to roleplay trying to figure out what the hell a new Sura is, and then we'll get to Q with the lore dump.
Amazing.
Well, I mean, it's not like we're stupid. Like Arthur knows what a Sura is. He just doesn't really. I don't think he's been there. I don't think he really knows.
Yeah.
Same. Right.
I've definitely never been there.
Okay, so I guess to roleplay this. The only thing I know is that it's damn cold up there. Wear a bunch of furs and you never go there in winter. What about you, Sinead? Have you ever met a Usurian pirate or whatever?
I may be a passed by one or two, but I've never been there. They don't seem to be the most friendly people, but I'm not an expert by any means.
Really? I handle that with a bottle of vodka. They can be pretty energetic.
Well, I haven't experienced that.
So we are going to move to Q. So you know that Usera is the land in the north. It's extremely cold, of course. They follow the church, the Orthodox Church, which is of the first prophets, which is quite different than the Church of the Prophets of Castile. They are largely farmers, although they are they're pretty varied in like what they do, a little bit more than the other countries as far as what they're good at. They're kind of jacks of all trades in order to survive up there, especially being so isolated. The saddest thing about Usura is that it's, most people say it's kind of like a sleeping or dying country. It doesn't really have much of a future. And being a well-educated person, you know that the common Usuran proverb is you share the warmth or die from the cold. The biggest thing to remember when it comes to these people and the land that they come from is that their social strata is split into two. There's the Musik and the Boyars. The Musik are the peasants and the Boyars are the landowners. Yes, that is the most what you know.
Okay. After they sort of talk out their knowledge, I will fill in the gaps. What colors are we flying on the Lady Morgan? Are we flying any flags?
Up the Sinead.
What was it when we got on the ship?
This is the Castilian privateer ship you guys took over, so it's like red and gold,
right?
And black.
Is there like a neutral color on the ship?
Yeah, and also, does Usura? What are their relationships with Castile? I assume since it's different religions and Castile's like a crazy theocracy, probably not great.
It could be better. It could be better. the current relations, the Usurans don't mind the Castilians, is a good way to put it. Mm-hmm. They don't like how stubborn they are in keeping with their Church of the Prophets, because they're like, I mean, we kind of all believe in the same thing, so what's the point in like killing people over it? But they, other than that, they call them kind of pig-headed because of their like eliteness at being overly stubborn. As far as the relationship that Castilians think of Usura, Castilians don't really travel as much, you know, like Montanian person would travel all over, but Castilians kind of stay in Castile. So they don't really think or do much about Usurians. They just have standard diplomatic relations. There's some religious places in Usura because of the first prophets there that are like important to both churches, so they'll do pilgrimages, but other than that they kind of ignore them. It's kind of like they both are really happy kind of pretending the other one doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I think something that Sinead would have definitely done, she probably would have known all that information, like with sales and stuff, so I think she would have hung up a neutral color if we have that whenever we first boarded the ship.
Yeah, so I'm gonna say a good neutral color, you could say like a gray flag or something, you know.
Yeah,
like because I don't think any countries have gray on their flag, so it's a And the well, you could do skull and crossbones. You would want to antagonize everybody.
No, I mean, okay. No.
Yeah, no skull and crossbones. No white flags.
Okay, so
no Jolly Roger.
Gray's good.
This is this is a side note. I have a really good idea for a flag for the Lady Morgan, just after we deal with the Usurians.
Okay.
So you guys, so Sinead, captain of the ship, you're going to hail them. You're going to talk to them. What would you like to do? They are headed towards your direction, but doesn't look like they got guns drawn or anything, but, what do you want to do?
I'm going to ask my first mate for advice. Q, since you know the most about these people, what do you think the best course of action is?
I think if we adjust our course slightly to stay abreast of them in case they do not wish to interact, we can get a better idea. If they're sailing pirates' flags, then we know they probably want to kill us. But if we adjust our course and they adjust in kind, perhaps they're interested in some sort of conversation. I don't really see any harm in that necessarily. I'd like to avoid a conflict, though, so we don't end up down to one ship again and another language to add.
Right. we'll stay our course then.
All right. So you stay your course, and because I'm really, it's gonna take some time for you guys to actually meet. So in the meantime, I really want to hear Arthur's idea for the flag, if that's okay.
Oh.
While this is happening, Arthur and all of us are just on the ground while he draws this out for us.
Like, no, like, as soon as I mentioned, oh, we need to see what flags we're taking, Arthur is like, wait a sec, this is a problem we gotta solve for the future, and goes down, starts drawing.
No, he was definitely standing on the deck with you guys. I wasn't, like, drawing a crayon flag.
I think I would love that, though, please.
That's valid, though. That makes sense.
That's not Arthur's character.
That's not his character.
He would not. Yeah, I'm trying to imagine. I mean, okay, in my mind, Arthur looks like a mix between like adult Zuko and Geralt of Rivia. And so if you just imagine that human being like kicking his feet and drawing a flag, like.
It would be so cute.
Well, yeah.
Entirely out of character, I agree, but so cute.
Okay.
Arthur fanfic.
Arthur fanfic.
You know, it's like when people have a character they like, and then you're reading fanfic about it, and you're like, none of these characters would do that at all, but it's adorable, so I'll let it slide.
I have an idea for a flag that we can fly that would be guaranteed to not piss off anybody. Well, I mean, I guess almost anybody. I don't want to make that kind of claim. But my idea, if we're the Lady Morrigan, then maybe we should just fly a neutral colored flag with a raven embroidered on it.
I like that.
I like the raven.
We could do like gray or black, you know, whatever. I'm not an artist, just throwing that idea out there.
Standing behind you, Isabel happened to overhear, and she says, I'm rather proficient in sewing if you'd let me do it.
That would be great.
Yeah, go for it.
Also, Arthur, can you roll? can you roll a wits plus notice real quick for me?
Sure. Can I know what the risks are?
No.
Okay.
We're gonna
the
break
risk
tradition
is
real quick.
Instant death, as follows all unnamed rolls.
Isabel kills you.
she is definitely like, she's like jacked. She just turned 21, so she's in the prime of her life. She's got big old biceps. I guess Arthur's a knight, but continue.
Man, I have rolled like super trash today. I have rolled so many threes and ones. I only got one raise, so.
All right, never mind then. She
all right.
goes off to sew the flag.
I'll go fuck myself then.
Okay, so you near the Usurin ship. You can see a very, very, very large man covered in furs. If you, Sinead, you still using the spyglass?
Like in a sneaky way, so he can't tell that I'm just like fucking staring at him.
I do have a question.
Yes, I have an answer.
This man is wearing furs in southern Italy in the Mediterranean waters. I just wanted to clarify. Okay, cool.
He's
wanted to make sure
absolutely,
that was a commitment. It's an active
he
choice.
He's completely drunk.
God.
All right. So, yeah, so his face is bright red, and he's standing at the tip of the ship, also with a spyglass.
Do I notice that? Do I know that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You can notice that.
Okay, cool.
This is a really good spyglass. Like, you can pretty much see this with the naked eye. You just can't make out the details. So with a spyglass, you're golden.
Got it.
It looks like there next to him, another man comes out. He's dressed appropriately for the weather, unlike
tank
the main
shorts guy.
He's got like, he's just normal. And he starts signaling flags in the way that you would know as a sailor mean, like, wanting to have some parlay, some diplomatic relations. Nami saying, yeah, they want to chill.
Well, it looks like they're hailing us down. Do we trust them?
I mean, no, but we probably respond.
What was the saying that they're fond of? Stay warm together or die from the cold. Maybe we should get
something like that.
Something to trade with them? I mean, we don't have any food, so whatever else we have, we should probably consider giving up.
You also notice that this is a very nice ship. This is like an expensive one. They're probably well stocked.
Hmm. Yeah, perhaps we can. Do we have any cargo on our ship?
We have all the stuff that the crewmate stole.
Which is a lot, by the way. You guys are like rolling in it. The Vodachi pirates, like some of the like Castilians did too, but like the Vodachi pirates like looted San Felipe.
Dope. Okay, well then perhaps we have stuff we can trade for food.
Arthur is very uncomfortable with all the piracy going on. By the way,
I mean, you're on a pirate ship.
Arthur,
I know,
needs to lighten up.
Doesn't mean
Arthur morals, judgment. Okay,
the only reason why Arthur isn't more of a lawful good pain in the ass is because we spent 90% of our time in international waters.
that is completely true. So you signal to, I'll tell you, you know who your guys' new signal person is? It's good old, it is Enrique, the one of the youngest crew members, the Castilian traveler, who Sinead talked to not too long ago. He normally works in sales, but his knowledge of sailing also enabled him to understand coding, so he's around if you want to tell him to grab the flags and accept their offer for diplomacy.
I also just want to pause and say that I love that your description of him could have been like the description of somebody that works in an office. Like, yeah, Enrique works in sales, but because of his experience, he can also do coding as well.
Oh, I didn't even pick up on that.
God. That's amazing. Oh my god.
HR moved. Wasn't it like a Q or Amelia, I guess, who was like, does this ship have an HR department?
Yeah. And you know what happened when we didn't have fantasy HR? People doing their jobs everywhere and now we're out of food. Now we're starving.
Guys, this is a PSA. HR is important. Thank you, HR people. Okay, so the ships near, closer to one another, they start saying, you know, ship ho, and you hear the same, and you just hear a bunch of Yusurin, like, yelling, and the ships come together, and you guys latch on to one another. The man who's still in full furs stumbles onto your ship and says, I love a good ride on a ship, and then, like, collapses.
Men, does anyone want to help him up, please?
Enrique and Una. Una's around. They pick him up and they sort of like help him out. Next off the ship comes a very, very, like, she's like 6'6", I would say. 6'6", yes. Bulky. She's got light blonde hair, and she walks down the gangplank onto your ship and says, hello. It's nice to meet you, and offers her hand.
Who is she offering her hand to?
To you, the you're wearing the biggest hat, so she assumes you're the captain.
Right. Yes. Hello. Nice to meet you as well. She just for context, Sinead is very intimidated by these giant people.
Arthur is like, yeah. This is more like it.
Her gruff voice sort of echoes around the ship. This thing carries, and she says,
sorry about Peter over there. He does that sometimes. But you know how it is.
Right. Yes. You gotta have a drink every now and then, right?
the whole Urseren crew looks at each other, and it's like silent. And then you hear, oh, and they're like slap each other on the back, and they're like so happy about this. So she says,
now I am captain of this ship. My name is Macavia.
And I'm Captain Sinead. Nice to meet your acquaintance.
She offers like a small bow as a sign of respect and says,
for some diplomatic relations, please speak to our head of coin.
And up walks a very thin man. He's about 6'2", dark hair. He has really round glasses. He's pretty well dressed, although still somewhat appropriately for the weather. And he says, greetings.
Yes, and let me introduce my first mate, Q.
No.
Ivan.
A pleasure.
And he shakes his hand.
We have food for you. Lots of food and drink. We need to get rid of it. And other things as well.
Any particular reason you're offloading so many items?
Yes. We, well, don't ask too many questions.
He sort of chuckles to himself and then just says, We
miss having money. You see, we have plenty of supplies, but we don't have much in the way of tradable goods outside of food. We want nice things back again.
Okay. Well, if I can inspect what you have to offer, I think we can probably come to an arrangement.
You all know this, and I won't make you roll for this because it's plainly obvious, that all of these people are dressed like in pretty fancy clothing, and the ship is fancy. Like, these are obviously people that you had described earlier as the Boyers. These are very wealthy people exclusively. Not a single one looks like they're a peasant. They all have gilded weapons and wonderful hats, etc. And it doesn't make a whole lot of sense why they're all out here, but they all have fancy clothing. However, it doesn't seem like they have like jewelry or anything like excessive. It's just their clothing. It also looks like they're the ship is missing like any sort of trinkets or it looks like it's missing like extra flair that like a wealthy ship would have. It's just really well put together. So Ivan says,
Excuse me, it's embarrassing to admit, but things are not the same in Usura as they used to be.
Oh?
We miss feeling like fancy people.
So you're looking for some jewelry, some flair?
Yes, it was taken from us in revolution.
Oh.
So... the lower classes revolted against the upper classes, I'm guessing within the past couple of weeks.
Ivan's like, what the hell? He adjusts his glasses and He leans in closely and goes, "Are you witch?"
Well, not that kind of witch. But what's happening here is not isolated to Usura. There's seems to be unrest happening all over the continent at roughly the same time.
Oh. We in the... I don't know why I went to Joey Wheeler all of a sudden. Let's cut that part out.
It's okay. Your pace, Brennan, let's be honest. All roads lead to Joey Wheeler.
Next season, I'm playing a character voiced by Joey Wheeler so I can actually have, like, a consistent accent for once in my life.
It's all Joey Wheeler. Always has been.
Anyway, so he... good old Ivan says, "This is not good. Usura is isolated in the north. This is not something that I was aware of."
Well, I have some theories about at least several discrete parts of this revolution, and it seems anywhere money can get, anywhere trade can get, so can words. So, I'm guessing this is a more coordinated effort than I had initially thought, which is concerning, but also is helpful.
He says, "It is good to know that Uthura is not the only country suffering." And he says, "You should meet Zarina. We took our leader with us in the escape."
I would love to meet Zarina.
Zarina.
Like, Zarina.
Czar. Yeah. So he says, "Good."
Wait, like, as in, like, the czar of, like, Usura?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, yeah, for sure. Want to meet that person.
Excellent.
Arthur is, like, privately a little bit.
Avoid seducing her, please. I know what you're thinking.
You can't stop me. You can't stop me.
Arthur will definitely try to stop you from seducing the Tsar of Russia.
I'm seducing someone. It's either going to be Tsarina. I thought Makavia, probably, as soon as you described her. I was like, yeah. I make notes in my notes who I'm going to seduce, and I haven't missed yet.
You can't seduce the Russian pirate and the Tsar.
Well, I can seduce one or the other. I haven't met the Tsar yet. If you don't want me to seduce her, make her unappealing to me and cute.
I can't do that. She's already made. I guess I could change her character. You know what? Whatever. We'll get to this later. So then he says, God. He goes, "Excellent. Please, come right this way. Is your friend okay?" And he points to Giuseppe, who's like looking at all these big Russians and is like, what are these people?
Yes, he's just easily startled.
See. Loriana comes running up to all of you and says, "Did everybody's voice just get much deeper?"
"We have company, Loriana. Usurians."
"Company? Usur..." Oh, and she, like, runs back.
Okay. What? Russians? No, thank you.
You guys can explore that later. It's a pretty funny story, but we'll get to that later. Okay, so you guys walk on to the Russian or the Usurian ship. Again, despite the fine wood and the good craftsmanship, it's pretty stripped down. There's not much on it but food and wood and some cannons. Deep in the middle of the ship and where the captain's quarters are, it looks to be not necessarily captain's quarters anymore, but the room of a monarch. This is undecorated. It's just a door. And you can tell that, like, Ivan's a bit embarrassed about this. He goes, this is place for Zarina. And written like in like a knife carving is like C-Z-A-R-I-N-A, like because they didn't have like a plaque or something to put on the door.
Arthur being 100% genuine is like smiling at the door and kind of the ship in general, and is just like, yeah, this really suits me. This is my kind of style. Just plain, to the point, functional.
So the Ivan goes up to the door and knocks three times. Come in! And he opens the door and shows you three into a bedroom. It's there's just a bed and a dresser, and sitting in a desk, and sitting at the desk with some maps and some parchment, some writing, is a beautiful Russian gal who looks to be probably 25, 26 years old. She is dressed quite well, although with no jewelry. She has no crown, no tiara, absolutely nothing to mark, delineate her royal heritage. She is quite curvy and has platinum white hair, the color of snow, which falls down her shoulders. And she has dark brown eyes, which contrasts pretty obviously with her hair. Her dress is a light, it's like a pale blue, the color of like if you mixed ocean water with snow. And she turns to you all and says, "Ah, you must be the entertainment that I had asked for not too long ago."
I don't think so exactly, Your Highness.
And she looks very, very, very sad. And she goes, "Oh, I was hoping for some good music. It's been so long since I've heard music."
"Well, we have gold and other shiny things to trade, and we're in desperate need of some food. So perhaps a little bit of commerce would cheer you up."
She looks like she'd be cheered up, but she was really hoping for some music. She'd be really impressed by it. Anyway.
Question.
Yep.
Yeah, I'd like to activate my virtue.
What's your virtue?
"She treats me as friendly for one scene."
Okay, she treats you as friendly for one scene.
Yeah, so we're really good friends. So she would just be like really happy though if she heard a song.
Yes.
I'll sing for her.
All right. How are we doing this exactly? You want to like tell me a song you're singing or like?
Yeah. I will, with permission, approach the Tsarina.
Permission. Ivan motions, gives you permission.
And I will say, "Unfortunately, I am not a performer, and I know that music would alleviate some of the sorrow and uncertainty I'm sure you're feeling. But I can offer a brief song if it is something that you would be interested in hearing. Though, those are not really where my talents lie."
Okay. Sing the song and then give me panache plus performance.
I'm just going to sing her a lullaby that my parents sang me when I was a kid. Just, "Alouette, gentle alouette, alouette, j'te plumerai la tête, j'te plumerai la tête, la tête, la tête, oh." And just kind of go in the round and sing alouette.
Performance. I'm going to give you an extra two raises on that because you actually sang the song.
And it's in French.
And it's in French. So, yeah, one, because you sang really well, Amelia, and two, because it was in French. So zero raises. She's like appalled, but that can't happen. One also can't happen. If you get two, she is pleasantly surprised and happy. A three, she is she's very responsive to this. She enjoys it 4, your soothing lullaby helps her deal with the trauma of what she's lost, being the leader of a country, now being a castaway. 5, and she takes a sincere liking to you. 6, and she falls in love with you.
Hell fucking yeah. Okay. That's panache and performance.
Yes. 7 or more you can bank.
Oh, there's 1, 2, 10s. I'm going to be re-rolling these.
This would be the thing that okay. You get a bunch of exploding tens
on. That's a 10. There's a 10.
I just want to point out, it's a weird vibe to, like, seductively sing a lullaby to a 25-year-old czarist. Just, like...
Well, Q's, like, 24. It's just something that reminds me of home. It's not like the song isn't meant to be seductive. It's meant to be heartwarming, okay?
Sure.
So, Brennan,
what do you got?
How many did I need for her to fall in love with me?
6.
So, I have 5 here, but I have a carryover raise from the last game.
Literally, which I will be every spending. Single important person we meet, Q's like, oh, it's my time.
Literally, this is the only reason we're going to survive this campaign, is because everyone important who can destroy us, Q is going to fall in love with, and they're going
to
fall in love
well,
with
Well, it's
you.
Like, they were already, like, going to be nice to us, and like they're already like, hey, like, we want to give you food, and Q's like, hold on, let me seduce your leader right quick.
Listen, Q doesn't seduce people for a gain. Q seduces people because they genuinely just fall in love with people all of the time.